What is your relationship to truth? What is your heart towards those who speak the truth, to those who live the truth? Often the truth may seem pleasing at first, but it can become quickly irksome to those who are living the lies that the world teaches. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim begins a sermon on truth, freedom, and the relationship that we have towards the truth. So sit back and join us as we hear the light of the Word.
Galatians 4, beginning in the 12th verse. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, or as Jesus Christ. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Father God, as we study here in your word, Lord, let not Jim's ideas come through, but speak through this servant of yours, Lord, to these that you have gathered, that your word comes through, that your word be known. Speak to them, Lord, that they would be moved to action by your Holy Spirit. Speak to them, Lord, that they would be yours, confirmed and revealed. Speak to them, Lord, showing them each and one individually that you are God, and you are the God of this church. You are the God of this country. You are the God of this world. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. On the surface, to have this beginning, you would wonder, what's Paul saying for them to be like him? His brothers, I entreat you, or I beg you, some of your versions say, become as I am. Remember what Paul said he was? He was the chief of something, wasn't he? Of all sinners. Is he telling them to become like him, the chief of all sinners? What is he telling them in the beginning of these verses? Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am. Free. That's what he's telling them. Become free as I am. Last week, I was so excited about this, I shared a little bit of this last week's message. Because Paul's telling them, I was once under the yoke of sin. I was once under the thumb of the law. But now I am free. Even though Paul is still a sinner, even though Paul has not become perfect, he knows that he is free from the effects, the spiritual effects of sin. He is under grace. He is under grace and not under the law. When he's saying to them, be as I am, he's saying, be free. Be free from sin. Because sin ties us down, doesn't it? I want you to think for just a moment. If you hear my voice, think, has sin ever tied you down? I'm not asking you if you've sinned because we know you did. Has sin ever tied you down? Have you ever had that lie that you told that you couldn't tell the next truth because it would reveal that that was a lie and you were tied up with it? Have you ever found that you have done things, looked at things, said things that you don't want anybody else to know you did? And so you begin to hide those things. I remember talking to a man one time, and he said that he would go through his computer when he got done looking at things he shouldn't, and he would clean all the registries he could find. I said, don't you know that somebody who knows what they're doing can find whatever you've ever been on? We try to hide our sin because we are bound to it. if we are not in Christ. But really what we're doing is we're trying to fool ourselves that we are okay, that we are not in a position of death because of our sin, but that we are okay. And so we come up with these ideas of things that we use to rebuke being under the law by saying, well, I think I have done more good than bad. Or God will weigh my deeds. If he weighs your deeds, if that's how he measures you, the very best person in this room is bound for hell. If that is how he measures you. If he is not measuring you by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are bound for hell. I don't care how good you have been. I don't care how much charity work you have done. I don't care how many people you have helped. You are bound for hell apart from the righteousness of Christ, apart from his grace. We need people to see that grace in us, don't we? That they could become like us because of the grace of God. Not that we did anything to become that, but God did in us for us to become that. Paul says, for I also have become as you are. Or in other words, I continue to sin even though I belong to Christ. But the difference is I belong to Christ. What happens to somebody who belongs to Christ when they sin? Those of you who are here who are Christian, when you do something that you know is against God himself, does it break your own heart? It does, doesn't it? We feel broken inside. Now, that's not to say that somebody who is lost doesn't have an issue with their own sin sometimes, but it's a different emotion. It's a different direction that they're going. We are brokenhearted because we have gone against what the one who died for us has called us to do. But when we do not belong to him, what our true fear is not that we have broken the heart of God. Our fear is that this is another notch on the other side of all the good that I do that's going to cause us to get out of balance and lose our path. Folks, you don't have a path if that's who you are. So Paul wants them to come under grace. Now, many of those who he's talking to in this letter, many of those throughout the Galatian churches, they truly came to Christ. Truly, they did. Some of them were still continuing in the faith, but some of them had been led astray. And we'll get to that here again in a moment. At the end of verse 12 here, he says, you did me no wrong. Now, he's talking about when he was with them, when he was teaching them, when he led them to Christ by faith, by grace, they did him no wrong. In fact, as he goes on into verse 13, you know it was because of bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. The scholars have different ideas of what Paul's ailment was. Many of the scholars say, well, he had been in the lower region of the area that's real swampy, and he had contracted malaria. And with malaria, there's some pretty disgusting things that take place. In fact, for those of you here and those listening that are nurses, with a lot of illnesses, there's some pretty disgusting things that take place, isn't there? There's some pretty wretched odors that take place with some types of illnesses and injuries. But whatever it was, whether it was malaria, others say, oh, it was some sort of eye disease because of what he says later. Others, including Spurgeon didn't say that it was depression, but he said it could possibly have been something like depression. And if you've ever been around somebody who is deeply depressed, there's a stench to that too, isn't there? Not that it's something that they can help necessarily, but there is a stench that comes with that. But whatever it is, it was a trial to those in the area who were working with him, who were seeing to him. I would say doctoring him, but that wouldn't be quite the right words to use. But those who were taking care of him, there was a trial to it. And again, I turn to the nurses in here. You have faced that, haven't you? You have faced dealing with somebody that's a trial. You have faced dealing with somebody that is whether it's part of the illness or part of their personality, that is very difficult. I'm not asking for a list of names, no. But you've dealt with those people. I know you have because I've seen it. I spent many, many hours visiting people in hospital beds. I think of one sweet little old lady who was just sweet talking to me and nice as can be. And then an orderly walked in the room and you would have thought the devil had taken her because it was ugly what she had to say to him. And it wasn't words that any little sweet old lady should say. But whatever it was, they took care of him. And they were blessed to do it. They were blessed to do it. And in that blessedness of doing it, they listened to his preaching. I have a feeling that Paul's one of those that no matter how sick he was, on his deathbed, he would have been preaching still. Don't you think? There was a lady when we were in Texas. She and her husband came and they spoke at the church and he was telling the story of his wife's father. His wife's father had gotten very sick, very ill, and he had been in the hospital for about 3 months before he passed away. And while he was in the hospital for those 3 months, the number there they were aware of was over 100 people had come to know Christ because of his preaching on his deathbed. That's not stopping, is it? That's not stopping. That's going all the way. Paul, I think, is that same type of personality. No matter what's happening with him, he's going to turn it around and tell the truth about Jesus Christ. Do you have that? No matter how hard life is, no matter what difficult situation or circumstances you are in, no matter how sick you may feel, is it showing the light of Christ that is important to you? Or is it that somebody would take care of you, that somebody would put you first? I pray and I hope that you would find the blessedness of sharing God's word, no matter what your circumstances. But as Paul did this, they heard it. One of my very favorite stories to tell is about Barbara Dexter's heart attack. When they had her up at the hospital and they were getting ready to put her into an induced coma. And she's witnessing to the people who are getting her prepared to put her into this coma. And they put her into the coma and she goes to sleep. And when they wake her up, she's still witnessing to them. What a witness. Folks, as important as it is to understand what the Galatians did here, I want you to also see how important it is for you to be that witness. For you to be that witness. Since I used Barbara, let me just tell you a little bit about her story. Gail was doing roads in Arkansas, and they had started going to a little Methodist church there in Arkansas. And Barbara was teaching Sunday school. And as she was preparing her Sunday school lesson one day, she said, "Oh Lord, I'm not saved." And she got on her face before God, and he saved her. What does it take to have a heart for God that would allow you to preach his word, to share his word, to love people with his word to the very end, no matter what the circumstances? It takes being saved, folks. The reason some people can't do that is because they're not saved. They have no witness to give because they have not experienced what God does, who God is. As Paul shared this, these people were hearing and coming to a knowledge of who God is. Now, the faithfulness of us as Christians is important. But you know that not one person is going to come to this knowledge, not one person is going to be able to hear this until God has given them ears to hear it, right? It takes the movement of God by His Holy Spirit upon the person. And it appears to me that God was moving in the Galatian churches because people were coming to him in faith. And it was both Jew and Gentile. There was more Gentile than Jew, but there was both Jew and Gentile coming to him in faith in these churches because of what he did in them using the witness of Paul. And they loved on Paul, no matter how difficult his ailment was, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. They loved on Paul because he brought them the word. You know, Paul later on in this text, in verse 19, he says, my little children. Paul became as a earthly example or father to them in the word of God, because he led them to be born again because of what God did through them and him in his preaching. In fact, they received him not only as an angel of God, but even as if he was Christ himself. Folks, those of you who are here and who are saved, do you remember the blessedness, the excitement, the joy of knowing Christ? Because if you are his, you do remember it. Some people remember the exact second when their eyes opened and their ears opened and they saw and knew who he was. Some people don't remember the exact second, but they remember the joy that was flooded on them because of it. This world would like to burden you and take away that joy. This world would like to burden you and rob you of any blessedness of Christ, even if you belong to him. Belonging to him does not stop the enemy from attacking you. If I was Vody Bachum, I'd say, if you can't say amen, then say ouch. Because the devil will continue to attack. He wants your witness. He does not want anyone else to have those things that Paul was preaching, that revealed by faith alone, by grace alone. And so this world will attack it and tear it down. And many a person has been shut up because they were afraid to open their mouth again because of the attacks. I remember when I was in high school, I know you probably think I was just a sweet guy all my life, but I remember getting into a fight, if you can imagine. In fact, I remember it was me against about 9 guys. And one of my friends decided to step in and help me. And then he got punched in the mouth and he decided he would watch. But that seemed to be a better choice. Folks, that's what the devil wants to do to you. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to punch you in the mouth so that you will sit back and watch. And for so many, it works. You're not sharing the word. You're not being a witness. You are closed off, isolated, and away from the people who need to hear the message. In verse 15, Paul says, what then has become of your blessedness? What has become of your joy? Those blessings that you received because of hearing Christ. And he goes on to say, for I testify to you, this is the love that they showed him. If possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. The love that they showed him was that they were willing to sacrifice for him whatever they could to help him heal and to help him continue to share the word. And the reason they were willing to do this was because of the great blessing of Christ on them. Some say that this is a saying of the time to show how dedicated someone is or how much they're willing to sacrifice. Some think that maybe he says this because his eyes were part of the ailment that he had. But either way, it doesn't really matter, does it? The important thing here is he realized that their love was so full that they would sacrifice something as important as their eyes for him. That's a love, isn't it? Look at Paul change his tone a little bit here. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? You who is willing to sacrifice for me because of the joy of the Spirit, am I now your enemy? Different circumstances, but I can tell you that Cynthia and I have experienced this many times over. I've been around Rodney and Teresa long enough to know so have they, where somebody has come in and they loved the Word of God. They loved what was going on. They loved hearing the truth. And then all of a sudden, the truth stepped on their toes. You know what happened? You would have thought that we had gone up against them as their enemies. I think of one man in particular. Early on, we were still in Manhattan, he and I had gone to Topeka on a deal one day and just really had a great day. And I really enjoyed time with him. And we get back, and that Sunday comes around, he acts a little funny. Next week comes, and he's acting even stranger. And then he starts talking behind the scenes to cause trouble. I go out to this man's house, and I sit down with him and his wife and ask what's going on and what is taking place, and just flat told him that we cannot have this, that we needed him to add to the church and not take away from the church. I left his house. By the time I got home, I was already getting phone calls from people in the church. He had called everyone his phone number he had and told them that I said he had to leave the church. So he did leave the church. Went to another church, and a year later, that church closed down. And the pastor there said it was because of this man coming to their church. Folks, there are those who are after their own purposes. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell who. And Paul's asking these people, people he had loved on and who had loved on him, have I become your enemy? And why would he become their enemy? For telling them the truth. The truth is something that people only like when it benefits them, unless they belong to Christ. There's another man I think of. He started coming here, and I would hear people tell me, oh, well, this man says that we should come to your church because you always preach the truth. And then one day, he didn't like the truth that I preached. And from that moment on, there was a division. Folks, this isn't just something that happened to Paul and to me. This is what happens when we stand by the truth day in and day out. People you love, people you take care of, people who have taken care of you will act like your enemies, because it is our human nature to want what we want. It is our human nature. We did not have to teach any of our children to be selfish with their toys and to take them away from somebody else that was playing with them. But every one of our children learned to do that on their own. What we had to do is teach them the other side of it. And this truth that Paul is telling them, what is the truth? It's the same truth that led them to Christ to begin with. That it is by faith alone, in grace alone, that you are saved. That's it. And let me just say, that is one of the most unpopular things in church today. Every church will say, yes, they agree with that. But when you start to break that down, when you break down what it means by faith alone, in grace alone, people don't like it. Because people think that God needs them. That is a common theology in American churches, that God needs them. There are those who would even teach it to the extent to say that that's why God created man, is because he needed somebody, when that is a lie. God never needed man. He chose to love man and to create man for his own purposes. But it was never out of some lacking that he had. But we don't teach truth in church. And it's not just today. I often say in the American church, but folks, this was first century Middle East church. This was first century. People were coming in behind Paul. They were coming in behind Peter and John. If you read through the epistles of John, you'll see John talking about how there are those in the church that are rejecting him, even John the apostle. Remember how John describes himself? The apostle that Jesus loved. It might sound prideful, but it's also true. Jesus loved John. John was part of that most intimate group with Jesus. And there were those who called themselves Christian within the church who opposed John. In this case, it is those Judaizers that had come in and had to add something to faith.
The fight against works is real. It's a constant pressure in the Church of Christ, for our fallen human nature wants to have something to boast about, wants to feel like we've contributed to our salvation. Beloved, the truth of God's word is that our works are nothing, that our righteousness is filthy rags, and our best offerings are only garbage if they're done in the flesh. The truth that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, is the very heart of the true gospel, but it's also the most despised truth of every false religion. We are saved only because God is gracious and chooses to save us through the shed blood of Jesus. Fight with all you have against anything that tells you otherwise. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. If you listened to last week's program, you heard us talk with Brother Bill Askell about the abortion resolution, or should I say the abolish abortion resolution, that was passed by the Southern Baptist Convention. A resolution that we here at Lighthouse and at Light of the Word Radio are very excited about. In fact, our church here in Kansas, we have read it from the pulpit, and in 2 weeks we will be voting on making that a permanent part of who we are, because we believe the stand against abortion needs to be made. We believe that we need to be a leader in doing so. There's many people who agree with us that abortion should end, and yet they're unwilling to do anything about it. We want to make that stand. And so pray for us as we pray over this and as we vote for it as a church. Our church is very small, and this little church is very much behind abolishing abortion. So I don't see there being any issue within our vote. But pray for us that we would take the leadership that we need to take with that and share it with you and anyone else who will listen. A couple of things real quick before we finish up. I wanted to read Deuteronomy 27 and verse 25. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, Amen. What is it that they do in an abortion clinic but shed innocent blood? The way that they perform an abortion, the different means that they use to perform an abortion, are hideous. They're horrible, and they're shedding innocent blood. We need to first stand up and pray that those who are working in the abortion clinics would be saved, that they would know the truth of God's salvation. And then we need to be praying that God would close down these clinics, that there would no longer be a legal abortion in the United States of America. So we ask you to join us with that. I also wanted to share the scripture from Psalm 127, verse 3, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Praise God. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.